This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. The sermon for this All Saints Sunday is according to the first epistle of St. John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. You're invited to be seated. You ever hear that phrase about how great it is to live in the moment? You all have. Easiest question in the world. When things are going good in life, it's very easy to live in the moment. Extremely. If you haven't, I recommend going to Dairy Queen and getting an ice cream cone dipped in chocolate. That would be the simplest way, as my pastor taught me, to live in the moment. In fact, when things are really good with us, we tend to forget about both the past and the future. As you well know, and most likely from your own experiences, such carpe diem pretense is only kind of mindset that can prove to be problematic. Many person is caught up only in the moment, winds up making for some pretty stupid mistakes, because they don't pay attention to the past. They don't learn from their history. Not surprisingly, those kind of stupid mistakes also have, believe it or not, a direct influence on your future. Those stupid mistakes carry with them some rather tough consequences, but nobody ever thinks about the future consequences when things are going great and you're caught up in the moment of that chocolate-dipped cone. Like I said, when things are going good, it's very easy to live in the moment, only in the present, with the past and the future not even on the radar. But to be fair, Pastor Keo said banana split. I improvised with ice cream cone. Of course, there is a flip side to this. When life really takes a turn, when it goes south, when things get tough and suffering enters into the picture, thoughts of past and future, they come flooding in. We lament the good old days. If only we could go back to the good old days, right? And then we dream of better days to come. Things will turn around. Just gut it out. Brighter days await. Everyone does this. We try to cover over and alleviate present sufferings by looking elsewhere, looking to the past and or to the future. And understand, this isn't necessarily a bad thing. In fact, such a focus on the past and the future can be good. It's very cathartic and therapeutic. After all, it can be very easy to get overwhelmed by all the present tense pain and suffering that's a part of everyday life in this fallen and broken world of ours. It should come as no surprise to any of you, and I have this on very good authority, that serious mental health issues and suicide rates have skyrocketed since COVID reared its ugly head. And those numbers continue to rise as things continue to get progressively and exponentially either worse or stay the same. But 2022 is going to be our year, right? It's going to be different. That's what I'm saying. Having a hopeful outlook is not bad. But you see what I mean? Without that therapeutic vision backwards and forwards, one could easily be consumed by the pain and suffering of the present. So often depression sets in. Hope becomes fleeting. If not lost altogether, our drive, our desire to keep pushing forward can dwindle and die, and people start to ask, why even bother? Why try? Even the faith of a good Christian, quote unquote, can fall victim to present sufferings and tribulations. It happens all the time. It is because of this ever-present danger, the danger of losing faith is what I mean, that St. John wrote letters to Christians and their congregations who were experiencing trials, tribulations, and sufferings, and their congregations who were experiencing the trials and tribulations and sufferings of being faithful Christians in a very unfaithful and dark world. Consider the first words of the epistle lesson. St. John reminds the hearer of love. Love the Father has already given to you. Love that has made you His children. He also points the hearer to a future joy in the resurrection. When we will arise and be with Christ, we do the same exact thing at every single funeral. A funeral in the Lutheran Church means not telling you what a great person this is, but telling you what a great Savior this person has and that you have. And if they were a Seahawks fan, great. I'm excited. Can't wait to rejoice with that in heaven. But the truth of the matter is, a Lutheran funeral is about Jesus. A Lutheran service is about Jesus. A Lutheran devotion is about Jesus. Yet, John doesn't try to ignore the present. In the midst of all this focus on the past and focus on the future, St. John also directs the people to the present. He says, "Beloved, we are God's children now. We don't expect to become them. We are them." And then some people say, "But are we good enough to be their children?" I'm like, "You don't have children, do you? They're your children because they're yours. Not because they don't earn the right to be your children. They're your children because you made them." Just in the same way Jesus has made us His children. My friends, was Emmanuel, God with us, only applicable when Jesus walked the earth 2,000 years ago? Is salvation merely some historical event that happened one Friday to Sunday in the past in a faraway land almost 2,000 years ago? Does the joy and peace of Christ only reside in the unforeseen future? Is the assurance of salvation something that only resides on the other side of the heavenly gates? No! As baptized children of God, we have present tense joy and peace and blessed assurance that surpasses all human understanding. How often we forget that. These past many months have been proof. When trouble arises, how often we slip into the default mode. Lamenting the good old days while longing for better days to come. How often we fail to recognize and rejoice in the joy and peace and truth of Emmanuel in our present lives, in our very midst. There's this struggle that Christians have. I'm not talking about unbelievers because that depth of woe is too much. But the struggle for Christian believers who were really happy to be Christians before the pandemic. And then in the pandemic, they don't know anymore. And there's this worry, and I say this to them, and I try not to be rude about it, but I also don't try to put frosting on a turd. I say, "Did you think you worshipped a fair-weather Savior? Did you think he wasn't there? He's only hanging out with you because you're having a good day? Is that who you worship? Well, I wouldn't get out of bed either. I wouldn't come to church either because I all of a sudden found out I worship a fair weather Savior. And they're like, well, when you say it like that. But even though we reside in a fallen and broken world, even though the world looks at us and continues to mock us and persecute us as baptized, redeemed children of God, we are saints right now. Blessed are. All those beatitude declarations of blessedness are present tense realities. I like it, the whole groups of Christians that try to emulate the Beatitudes. I'm like, you're looking for suffering? Really? You're looking for that? I guess you're doing pretty good, because suffering doesn't actually wait, doesn't knock on the door and go, hey, can I come in? You go, can you come back next week? Can I snooze button that bad boy there? No, that's not how suffering works. If you're not suffering, then God bless you. We are called blessed by God right now. Ours is the kingdom of heaven right now. God is reigning and ruling right now. And it doesn't look that way in our lives, though, does it? It doesn't look like God is ruling and reigning over this messed up world. We know that on Judgment Day, all this wickedness and misery will be put down. But for right now, it seems like we're on our own and that we're losing. I've said this before, the news with alligator grins talk about the declining of the church culture in America, the declining of church attendance, the Christianity is losing its dominance as the main religion in America, as if there was some sort of vote that happened, as if there was some sort of committee that met and said, what should our religion be? The truth of the matter is, the faithful will exist as long as we do. As long as God has said there will be a church on earth, then it will exist. And for every person that falls away, they are not destroying the church. They're destroying their future. But then I remember, O ye of little faith, look at the cross. That's Jesus ruling over sin, death, and the devil. That is Jesus triumphing. That is Jesus saying, it is finished. Jesus has already won, and it's here, present tense, in his means of grace, in his word and sacrament, that he continues to reign and rule and triumph in the midst of all this fallen and sinful world we live in. It's here, in and through the means of grace. We take these means of grace very seriously. We baptize because we are called to. We have the Lord's Supper, and we don't just pass it out. If you are prepared, is the only time we give you the Lord's Supper. In this church, we prepare people. They come and they study. They actually have to learn who Jesus is. They have to learn what he says, because he says as much, not to take this sacrament without being prepared. So we do it. It's part of the faithful act of the church to say, oh, by the way, you're going to need to learn about Jesus. This is a church that's, you know, look at the name on the door. It says Christ. It doesn't say Pastor Hoffman Lutheran Church. That'd be the lamest church in town. It says Christ Lutheran Church. And in Matthew 28 verse 19, he says, to teach them what I have commanded you. So welcome to our ministry. I should say Jesus's ministry. Oops, and I recorded that. Sorry. It is the ministry of Jesus Christ in this place. It is here and in and through these means of grace that our triumphant Lord continues to bestow the fruits of His blood-bought victory to you in the present. And honestly, do you think things might be different if people could actually see or at least understand and believe what is going on here? The reason the world doesn't know us is literally, as Jesus says, we didn't know Him. You know, maybe the reason we suffer and struggle in doubt and despair, maybe the reason we so easily wander away or quickly lose hope when we start to feel the weight of the crosses we're given to bear in this fallen and broken world is because we don't know Him and His Emmanuel, peace and grace, as well as we think we do. The wise ones will repent of this truth. The people who think they know Jesus well enough need to repent. But so often this isn't how things go. I also learned something else. It's sad to say, but according to the CDC, something else has risen since the coming of COVID with depression. People are taking more and more medication to take them away from depression. Mental illness goes on the rise and they start all taking prescriptions and those are going up and up and up. People who have never ever considered it in the past. The world is so filled with people giving out all kinds of prescriptions, and I don't just mean pharmaceuticals, especially in these past many months. Some are pharmaceutical, but some are material as well as spiritual, because during the pandemic, people have been spending like crazy. That's not a pharmaceutical. That's an empty hole they're trying to fill. And then there's the people who are being given prescriptions for spiritual things that Jesus doesn't recognize. Everyone seems to think that they can cure what ails you, and yet none of these self-proclaimed good physicians and healers ever seem to point to the good physician. Saint Amazon will not point you to Jesus. Saint spiritual but not religious will not point you to Jesus. So you see, I'm not just beating up on the pharmaceutical industry. I'm talking about everybody that says, I got what you need, but it ain't Jesus. Rather, hear the good news of your description, God's description of you in Christ. Consider how God sees you right now in Christ and through Christ. So what I'm asking you to do is don't look further than your baptism. Don't look further than the washing of regeneration. Don't look beyond the promises that God gave you. Forget those, because if they go beyond what God has said, they're not from Him. The water and then the blood that flowed from Christ's side at the crucifixion so long ago continues to flow to you and present in order to give you peace, joy, forgiveness, and everlasting life. Baptized into Christ, God sees you as completely covered over and sopping wet in the blood-soaked baptismal robes of Christ's perfect righteousness. Right now, baptized into Christ, our Heavenly Father looks to you and sees Christ. He sees His holy ones. That's what the actual Greek word means, holy ones. Though the baptismal washing of water and the Word of God made you holy and righteous in His sight, you have been adopted into God's holy household by virtue of your baptism into Christ. You are a holy child of God. It's not a future tense thing, as if you will someday become holy or someday become a child of God through faith. You have the ever-present joy and peace, knowing that you have already been declared holy in God's eyes. And you say, well, what about that world out there, Pastor Hoffman? There's a lot of people who are kind of rough on me because of my faith. I'm going, right. But nothing God said isn't true. Those guys are distractions. While Jesus is over here proclaiming righteousness, they're going, hey, look over here. The devil and your old Adam, they're needy, man. They need your attention. They need your love. They need everything. And where God doesn't need anything, he does this because he loves you. He's not trying to get you to love him. He's saying, I love you. In God's eyes, you stand before him now, holy and righteous in his sight, not because you've earned it with good and saintly behavior, but because Christ Jesus earned it for you in his death and resurrection. When you look at this list of people that we read their names, if you know them, you're not going to say, well, this person never did a thing wrong, and that's why they're with Jesus right now. They would be so mad at you. They'd be going, are you kidding me? I'm a wreck. I'm a dumpster fire who is residing with Christ for all eternity. This past reality of this crucifix and your baptism, this all-redeeming death and resurrection reality should mean something to you. It should affect and influence your present words and deeds. This future tense resurrection reality should mean something to you. This, the present, isn't the end of the story, though. The best is yet to come. What's the worst thing you can do to me? Make me wake up with Jesus? It's hard to threaten us, isn't it? What are you going to do to me? Send me to Jesus? Uh-oh. Amazing. Still, don't ever lose sight of who you are right now in the present. In this world, believe it or not, you matter. In this world, believe it or not, you are somebody of importance because you are a member of God's holy family. And I'm sorry when people just can't grasp that. But the truth of the matter is, what you do here in this life matters. What you do as a Christian matters. In church matters. So that's why I say it's hard to threaten us. Don't ever lose sight of whose you are right now in the present. And let that sink in. Because no matter how bad things may seem right now, or how dark and uncertain our future may seem to be, it is finished in Christ because of Christ. No matter what this world throws at you, you belong to Christ, and this same Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth, continues to come to you and comfort you and assure you, to dry your tears, to nourish you, to shelter you with his presence. Your Lord never hits the snooze button. He never is too sick or too busy to be here for you. He never has something better or more important to do. He doesn't have some lame excuse for not being here. Take and eat. Take and drink. This is my body. This is my blood, given and shed for you. Take a look at this altar, this rail. The saints in heaven, as Revelation points to us, are forever gathered around Christ, where Christ is there in paradise. Folks, here's Christ. Here is where heaven and earth meet. The Lamb of God, the same Lamb of God who all those heavenly saints are gathered around in the festal worship and praise, comes and dwells in your midst with you in his divine service. This place is made holy not because of us and what we do, but because Christ and his presence are holy. Standing in the presence of Christ, we are standing on holy ground. It is here that He calls you to the foot of His throne, to His feast table, where angels and archangels and with all the sainted company of heaven are gathered. It is here in the present He sets His feast of eternal life before you, the foretaste of the heavenly feast to come. He gives it Himself to you and bids you eat and drink for the forgiveness of your sins, for the peace that passes all understanding. And I know most of you already know this, but still, how often do you forget? How often do you take for granted? How often do you ignore or overlook all this present tense, Christ-centered blessedness and glory staring you in the face? Every Sunday we have communion. And there was once somebody who said to me, it's been a while now, so if I can remember it, why do you have communion every Sunday? You know, and I'm like, because it's like Jesus? I don't know. I felt like it was a trick question. I'm like, I don't know, because He says do this, and our confessions say we do this, and I don't know. Is this a joke? I mean, weren't you worried people will get desensitized to it? By the way, He said that to me. And I said, desensitized to what? And I said, are you saying this because you've become desensitized to it? Is that what you're telling me? That you're worried people will have your low view of God's gifts? Well, I never said that. I'm going, you don't have to. You're worried people are going to become like you. Of course, now we're still friends, but not. I said, look, if there's a problem with your congregation, you need to deal with it. Preach, teach, administer the sacraments. That's our deal. So we have it every Sunday because sometimes people say, I'm sorry, I got stuck at work. And then they come in the next Sunday knowing I'm going to expect Jesus to be here every Sunday. My baptism doesn't count every other Sunday either, by the way. Folks, here's Christ. Here's where heaven meets earth, as I said before, where angels and archangels. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Presently, in your presence, here is God's free and unmerited gift of salvation in the flesh for you. Does that sound good? Does it sound like a blessing? You should take my adult class. It's like this, only to 11. See what kind of love the Father has given us. See and rejoice. Rejoice and give thanks to God for the saints of the past. Give thanks for the future bliss that awaits us and all the saints in resurrection glory in heaven. But I'll warn you, don't lose sight of the blessedness and holiness that is yours right now in this present. And in because of our very present and gracious God and Lord. Today I call on you to rejoice with all the saints in heaven and on earth, for you are blessed, present tense. And yours is, present tense, the kingdom of heaven. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.